The title of the message this morning is How to Get God's Direction for Your Life. Everybody here has something in common. You have to make a decision about your own future or someone else's future or some choice that is a why in the road. You have to make a lot of choices. I was talking with someone just recently who just graduated from college. And I said, well, what are you planning to do? And she said, you know, I'm not sure. See, a person, we're all at intersections in life where we need direction. Maybe you're here today and you're talking about a job change or a career change. And you say, should I do it? Should I not? You need direction. Maybe you're thinking about a husband or a wife or wanting to get married and you're saying, wow, is that the person? It's a choice and we need God's direction in it. Maybe you have children and you need wisdom and direction how to handle a certain situation. They might be small, they might be big, but you need direction. Everybody here needs direction in our lives at some point. So today we're going to talk about that, and I've got a couple pictures I want to show you. Here's the first one. This is the largest hedge maze in Spain. It is 5,000 square meters. It has 4,000 trees. And the owner says it takes about an hour to get to the center. Now, there's a caption on the internet with this underneath it along this picture. It says this: get lost in Spain's largest hedge maze. Now, it's a fun thing, so we say, oh yeah, we'll see if we can find ourselves or whether we get lost. Here's the point. You may be here today and you are in the middle of a maze. And you know what you need? You need direction. You're trying to figure a way out. You're trying to discern a way forward. You're saying, what do I do now, God? You want direction. You need direction. Here's another picture. I think this represents what many of us experience in life. A lot of arrows, a lot of choices, and sometimes we just do not know what to do. And so all of us here share that in common. Here's a quote by Zig Ziglar. Lack of direction, not lack of time, is the problem. We all have 24 hours per day. You see, we need direction in life. Everybody here needs God to direct our path so that we make the best decision going forward, whether it's about ourselves or it's about somebody else in our family, at our work, or wherever it might be. So today as we think about how to get God's direction for your life, we're using two verses as our primary text. It's taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, in your notes, there are the same two verses three different times in three different translations. The first is from the King James, the second is the New Living Translation, and the third is the NIV. They all say about the same thing, but just a little different. And so what I want us to do, we're going to read through all three of them together, okay? Let's begin. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So this morning, I want to share four simple principles of how we take God's word and we get direction in our lives, okay? Number one, it's in your notes. The first step in getting God's direction is this. Faith believes before it sees. Faith believes something from God before it sees the manifestation of it. The first part of verse 5 is this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The word trust and faith are closely related. They're like brother and sister. They're a little different. Faith is laying hold of something from your heart to believe it. Trust is waiting and persevering until it happens. So the writer says this thing called trust and faith is a big deal. But here's the big point. You and I have to believe it, God's word, before we see it manifested. Faith goes before seeing. In Hebrews 11:6, let's read that verse together. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I want you to catch this. Without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible to please God. God requires us to walk by faith. The faith is in his word. And he says, anybody that extends faith on the front end of your problem in trusting him, he will reward you. He says, those who earnestly seek him, who believe that he exists, that he will reward those who come to him. Now, in Hebrews 11:1, the writer says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you're in the middle of a maze, you know what you need? You need something of substance that you feel confident about in the decision you're about to make. It's this sense of assurance that you're making a choice that will honor God and is best for you. He goes on to say that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's a great story in the book of the Gospel of John. Jesus has died. He rose again. And 11 disciples saw him. And so it's probably 10 since Judas took his life. But there was one guy that hadn't seen him, and that was Thomas. And the other disciples had seen Jesus in his resurrected state. And here's what Thomas said. They're gathered together, and he says this, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. This guy's known as Doubting Thomas. We've heard about him. But here's what he said. Unless I see it, I'm not going to believe it. Yet the word of God says you need to believe it before you see it. So here's what happened. Jesus shows up. The doors were locked, but because he was in his resurrected body, he just kind of appeared. He said, peace be to you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. So he tenderly deals with Thomas and says, okay, you're not going to believe until you see? Okay, see the nail marks in my hands. Take your hand and put them in my side. And then he says, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. Then he goes on to make this amazing statement. Thomas finally came around and said, my Lord and my God, to Jesus. But then Jesus told him to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You want to be blessed? You offer up faith on the front end of your problem. You believe that God can somehow help us. You believe that God will come through for you. It is faith. And Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen, but they still believe. You see, the way to honor God, whatever you find yourself in that maze, you lift up faith and say, God, I don't get it, I don't understand it, but I'm going to believe your word, and I want to translate that into your direction for my life. And so this first point, it's all about believing before you see something. So on the back of your sermon listening guide, there's two words there that John Maxwell had coined. He calls it advance attraction. We could also call this the law of attraction. Here's how it works. When you know what you want in the future and believe it over time, you attract it. You see, if you know there's something that God has for you, that you believe it's on his roadmap for your life, and you just believe it and hang on to it over time, listen, you know what happens? You attract. There's something magnetic about a faith factor, and you anchor to it. You don't see it, but you believe it, and you camp out on it. Can I tell you? You are like a magnet. It might take weeks. It could take months. It could take years. But when you lift up faith before God, it's advance attraction, the law of attraction. We will attract what we believe. You know, that can work for us and against us. If we doubt and have a defeated mindset, we're going to attract that. On the other hand, if we have faith and we're in the maze and we don't know where we're at, but we say, God, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. We are attracting the goodness of God, his power, his spirit, his deliverance into our life. It's like a magnet. So the first point, the first step in getting God's direction for your life, faith believes before it sees. Number two, the second principle is this: trusting God transcends lack of understanding. When we trust him, it somehow transcends what we cannot comprehend and understand with our mind. The writer said this: lean not on your own understanding. Are you in the middle of something right now and you can't figure it out? The mind is just so small, it can't figure out or put together the pieces of what God is doing. I think we all experience that. When we trust in God with all of our heart, here's what happens. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Here's what he's saying. When we trust with our heart, but we can't comprehend with our head, we will come out on top. When people are too analytical, we've all fallen onto this trap. We've tried to think it through. We've tried to analyze it front and backwards. We get up in the morning. We go to bed at night. The same thing, the same problem. You know what we're doing? We're trying to use our mind to figure it out. But Paul says, wait a minute. Trust with your heart, because trust transcends, is bigger than, more powerful than our lack of understanding. And we can have peace in the process. Came across a great story. A young boy was around a farm. It was on a farm. It was an old barn. And he found an old wooden bucket. And the wooden bucket had been in the sun for a long time. It was all dried out. You could see cracks between the slats, and he figured, well, it's pretty useless. Along came an older man, and the older man took the bucket, and he tied it onto a rope connected to a well, and the old man let the bucket down into the well. And a couple days went by, and they both went back. The old man pulled the bucket up by the rope, and sure enough, the bucket was full of a whole, it was a bucket full of clear water. And Here's what the old man told the boy. He says, listen, the water, when the bucket went down into it, it seemed like it was useless because it had cracks among the slats. But the water rehydrated the slats, and they fit together. And when the bucket came up, it was useful in a new way. You see, you might feel like you're submerged today. You're in the maze. And you can't figure it out with your mind. Can I tell you what may be happening? God is rehydrating your life. He's doing something that you cannot comprehend. And he's making the slats come together so that when he pulls it up out of the well, you have a new level of usefulness. Why? He rehydrated you in a way that we couldn't comprehend and understand. Here's a picture that I think kind of illustrates this point. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With our head, we can only go so far. With our heart, we just believe. It's called faith. And there's times in life where the only thing we have to hang on to if we're in the maze is we cling with trust in our heart, and we have peace. Can I tell you, at times, that's all you've got, and that's enough. It's enough. You know why? God's rehydrating us. He's doing something we cannot understand or comprehend, but he's making it work for us, and there will come a time where he'll pull the bucket up. It'll be full of water. We'll have a whole new level of usefulness to the people around us. Number three. The third principle or step about getting God's direction is this. Spend time in his presence. Spend time in his presence. Read with me that first line in your notes. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Okay. It says, wherever we go, whatever we do, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Welcome to the service, Siri. It's the first time I've had Siri join the service. Welcome. All right. Point number three, Siri. Spend time in his presence. Notice what it says. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, you and I, if we're in the maze, have to acknowledge him that we need his help. In the book of Exodus, there's a story about Moses, and we've talked about this in the past, but it's worth mentioning again. Let's read these verses together. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Here's the picture of the tent. There's about 2 million Israelites, and Moses would go to the tent outside of the where the people were, and he would go into the tent, his tent. And it says the pillar of the fire of God, the pillar of cloud, would come down and stay at the entrance. Here, I want you to get this. When he went in there, he had faith. He was believing before he was seeing. He was trusting. He was hanging on with his heart. And then, the pillar of cloud came down. You see, when you take time in your tent, you know what it does? It attracts God to it. Faith always attracts God. And so it goes into the tent, and the pillar of cloud, God's presence, came down to stay at the entrance. Now catch this. While the Lord spoke with Moses. You want to get God's direction in your life? ramp up your tent time. Your tent time is when you take 15 minutes, a half an hour, whatever it is, beginning of the day, end of the day, middle of the day, whenever. You go into the tent and you have faith. You know what that faith does? It attracts the power of God into your life. And that power, he comes alongside you and he speaks to you. Just like he did to Moses. You know what he told Moses? The next step for his life. Gave him direction. Here's a quote. Every morning, seek God's direction. In all your ways, acknowledge him. All. Not just a few. All. The big stuff, the small stuff. You know why? Faith magnetically draws into the power of God into your life, and God comes alongside and he begins to speak and he gives you the direction you need to get out of the maze in your life. That's how it works. But faith will always precede seeing. God rewards people that has faith. He's blessed by them. You know why? It's impossible to please him unless you have faith. Impossible. But you know what? For those people that have that, they haven't seen it, but they're going to believe it. Can I tell you, they are the people that God will use mightily in life. They are the people that God will choose for the next assignment in Walton. They are the people that God will speak into their life, an assignment maybe for the whole church family or for the community or for your family itself. Wow. Tent time. Just spend time in his presence. So step one, faith believes before it sees. Number two, trust God. Sometimes just trusting with our heart is all we have to hang on to. He's rehydrating us. Number three, spend time in his presence. That's tent time. Just kind of invest heavily in your tent time with God. Finally, number four, let God do his part. Let God do his part. Here's what it says in your notes. And he, God, will make your paths straight. Listen, there's a point in which God steps in to your life and he does something for you that you cannot do for yourself. I want to show you a picture. This is a maze. This has got a little bit different part of the maze. There are three wooden structures in that maze. I don't know if you can see it, but the one in the front, there's two people standing on it. Here's what happens. You have faith. You don't know what to do, but you're trusting in your heart. It's called the law of attraction. You are attracting God into your situation, into your problem, into your circumstance. And you just camp out there. You invest tent time. God is drawn to faith. He speaks to you. Now, here's his part. He will lead you to a place, an elevated platform, the wooden structure. He will lead you to that place. He will lift you up. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see the big picture. And you're going to see the maze from a whole different perspective. And you know what that'll be? You will see your way out. You will see your next step. You will see what you need to do, what God wants you to do as you move forward. You hit an elevated platform. That's his part. We wait until he shows us that. But it says, he does say, I will direct your path. I will direct your steps. I will make it happen. Why? God always honors faith. Couple verses. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. You want God to direct your steps? Understand this. He delights to be a part of the details of your life. It says it. He delights in that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Keep hanging in there. Trust from the heart. Have faith. Law of attraction. Spend time in his presence until you get to the elevated platform. And when you get there, you'll know what to do next. You know why? You can see things that you could not see before. And that's how God works. Two pictures, then I'm done. Here's the first one. Every small step in the right direction counts. Hey, whenever God prompts you to do something, every small step, it doesn't make any difference how small it is, it counts. You were here this morning. Some of you thought about, why should I even go to church? He will reward you for doing that. You know why? You're lifting faith. You're trusting him. You're giving, investing intent time in a church service. And every small step in the right direction will count for the betterment of who you are. And finally, here's the last one. Ride the horse in the direction that it's going. Let me paraphrase it. You want to ride God's horse in the direction it's going. Years ago in high school, I believe, grew up in Iowa. I may have shared this before, but a friend had, I think, three horses. And one went out to their place, and we went for a ride. And we got going pretty good speed, and I thought we were going this way, and the horse decided to go another direction, and I fell off. It was a memorable experience. Listen, you always want to ride God's horse in the direction it's going. You know what happens if you don't? You're probably going to fall off. And you know what happens when you fall off? It's painful. It's painful. Getting God's direction for your life. God wants you to ride his horse in the right direction. You know why? That's where peace is. It's where fulfillment is. It's where joy is. It's where my purpose for living is. It's where I live an anointed life. I live under his favor. I just feel good about life, and he uses me richly. Riding God's horse in the direction that he wants me to go. So how do we get there? Quick summary. You got to have faith. You got to believe before you see. The law of attraction. Hang on to it. Believe it. You got to trust from the heart. When you don't get it, you got to trust he's rehydrating the slats of your life. And when he pulls you out of the maze, out of that pit, out of that difficult circumstance, you will be a more useful vessel. Spend time in his presence. It's called tent time. When you go in with faith into your tent, always understand this. Faith will attract the power of God on your life. And when he comes upon you, he'll speak to you. And then lastly, let God do his part. He will lead you to an elevated platform. And you'll say, okay, God, I see which direction your horse is headed, and I'm going to ride with it. When we do that, God's blessing is on our life. Let's pray together. Just take a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed. You know the greatest struggle or problem of your life, the decision you need to make, but you don't know what to do. I want you to take a moment, review these four thoughts and say, okay, what do you need to offer up to God? He's teaching and training you. Do you need to believe before you see? You need to just hang on to it? Maybe you're trying to figure it out with your head and you need to let that go, but you can trust. Trust that he's rehydrating your bucket. Make a commitment to spend more tent time beginning tomorrow. Maybe even skipping it. Maybe it's just a few minutes saying, I'm going to do better with my tent time. That will attract the power of God into your life. Make a decision. God, I'm going to keep trusting until you take me to the elevated platform where I see your answer for my situation. And when he shows you which way to go, the decision you're to make, the choice that he has for you, you say, God, I will ride that horse. Father, thank you for this last Sunday of 2019 and for this group of people that came out. I pray you'll reward their faith. I pray that some principle or principles today will make a difference in today and in the coming week and even in 2020, all because they're here in faith. And you reward faith. Father, as a church family, we lift up faith collectively. And we have tent time in this moment. And we pray that you will take us as a church family in 2020. And you will do something in us and through us and for us that we had not even imagined on this day of 2019. We just offer ourselves to you. So, Lord, bless our individual journeys as we plan for the new year. Keep us safe. We just look to you. We will acknowledge you in all of our ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.